Good morning. My name is Ray Wright. I work for the University of Missouri Columbia, and I work at Bradford Research Extension Center. The title of my topic today is cover crop systems and their potential role for wildlife. This is a different concept than what we're hearing generally at these ASA meetings. However, but from the start, from the preliminary speakers that I went to, I'm always hearing a component about either our ecosystems management or wildlife. There's some component in there. And what I want you guys to get out of this presentation is we see there's a lot of benefits with cover crops, but what do we not see with the potential for wildlife? Now, from the first speaker, he talked about his family farm being in Nebraska, 50 acres, and when his dad came back, it was a failing farm. And he talked about how he changed. His dad took his education, changed the farm into a fairly large farm, and became successful. Agriculture is a constant state of change. We say that a lot out the research farm. And right here, just not all this is in my lifetime, but here's some of the changes that have taken place. Great plow up, fence row to fence row farming, the remote sensoring, seed rate efficiencies, chemical efficiencies. But the latest change we're dealing with right now is cover crops. And you can see by the size of these meetings, they're huge. This is a huge topic with people. Generally, when we talk about change in agriculture on it, that it usually means producing more food, better quality food. A lot of times it'll have an adverse effect. And the adverse effects are erosion, soil health exhaustion, water quality issues, maybe one of our biggest challenges coming up. And then one that a lot of people don't think about is the wildlife viability and population stability. But I feel that cover crops are a correction opportunity for this. So I'm not going to go into detail. I want to get to the main part of my talk. But we all know that the cover crops are benefiting the soil erosion, benefiting soil health by microbial activity. Weed suppression is one that's just now starting to pop up. The more strong weeds we have, having the competition of cover crops will play a huge role. In soil profile, like our last speaker was talking about, water quality, nitrates, and then also the hypoxia. But also, what role will they play in increasing wildlife habitat? So I picked a couple birds, or a couple critters here. Our quail in Missouri has been on a decline for a long time. Pollinators, a very critical, important critter that we don't pay a lot of attention to. But it's been on decline for quite a while. Now, you look at the quail harvest. Now, this is quail harvest data. You can correlate this to populations. When you look in the 60s, we had a lot of flux in the population. That's just normal for a critter like a quail. But you go in the 70s, I mentioned the fence row to fence row farming. Populations come down. We lost a lot of habitat. The 80s, early 80s, we had a little bit of a farm crisis. What happened with the population? Pops up a little bit. 84, we started getting the CRP programs. That stabilized it. But some of the ways those programs were managed didn't promote growth. And then as we go through the rest of the changes that I have up there, you can see the populations are still going down. I could pull up an Iowa map, and I have Missouri, Nebraska. I can look at quail or pheasants with that, and it's very similar. So there's something going on there. So I put this slide up here because the author really coined it to me, the loss of basic habitat. That's our problem. Now, think about what we're doing with cover crops. So increasing the wildlife habitat, this basic habitat need, I've always considered a field, traditional agricultural practices, a traditional habitat for quail and a lot of other critters. They will use it. It provides certain components that they need at certain times. The problem is that these fields are generally large and they don't provide all the habitat. So kind of the goal I'm looking at with this is to increase that timing of having these seasonal habitats in there a couple weeks earlier or a couple weeks later with cover crops. That can mean a huge difference. And then also planting, I asked this young lady here about the diversity planting. Iowa's got a lot of challenges. But planting habitat in their cover crops that can provide these critical habitats is very important. Let me give you just a generic critical habitat. You got to have a place to have your babies, raise your babies, protect your babies, feed them, and it's all got to be in close proximity. You've got to be able to access it. Cover crops can provide this. Now, the title of this slide is something I've been waiting to say for many years. Providing critical habitat through intensive agriculture. The environmentalists will be squirming and the farmers will be going, damn right, that's right, we're going to do it here. So the selection of species, that's going to be important. And we've got to keep in mind, the reason we're selecting species is for soil health benefit. But if we look at it with a little bit broader eye, maybe we can select species that are going to be helping out wildlife as well. Planting methods. We've got a lot of planting methods. I'll go over some of them. But that's going to be critical also. And also timely termination of the cover crops. Remember what I said, a couple weeks on either end of a growing season for wildlife can make a lot of difference. Not to mention if we add different rotations in there. So the selection of species, polycultures, multiple species. If you're planting something that'll grow fast and tall, that'll provide a certain amount of structure, a certain amount of critical habitat. Along with that, some of our mixed species, plant something that's going to produce a seed or a legume, something that's going to have a nutritious component for wildlife. If you're interested in insects, which we all should be, what about flowering? That's something, a young lady had a talk yesterday about pollinators and cover crops. There is a lot to this, knowing what type of flower, color flower, there's a whole different direction you can go on. Very important stuff. And it can be addressed by just planting some of them that we know will work. I mentioned earlier, it's got to benefit the farmer. It's got to be a gain. And right now with the soil health movement, a lot of farmers are planting all sorts of cover crops. We're all in the learning stage. So what we did here, this was one of the studies we did out at Bradford Farms. Our control, which was just corn, 151 bushels. That's good for central Missouri, sorry. But the rest of these are different types of cover crops we had planted in there and planted into it. Now, we had one decline, that was hairy vetch, but it's kind of meaningless on the decline. What I want to point out here is with this study, the only one that had significant difference is where we had that big, the bottom one, the mix of cereal rye, Austrian winnipeg, hairy vetch. That's significantly different from the other two. So we're seeing we're not causing a negative effect to the farmers. There's a lot of other benefits to cover crops. And if we continue this study over and over again, we will see them through yields. So, sure, I got my time going. Planting methods. You can plant these cover crops with a 30-inch planter. A lot of times they'll use a drill. And one of the popular ways is broadcasting. Now, I have a lot of problems with broadcasting because just the establishment. But these cover crops, the way we plant them, are going to make a difference. We will often plant right into standing cover crops out at Bradford. We'll let the plant start to come up, and then we'll spray over it with chemical and then drop it down. That's gaining those extra weeks that I'm talking about, the beginning and end. Also going into cover crops, you can see over here to the left, you're right, there's rows there. There's some energetics to think about here. Having empty rows for critters to move through to access food, escape predators, that's a pretty big role. And plus, if you have the legume component in there, you got the nutrients. Also, back to benefiting farmers, we'll take the planter and we'll move it over just a little bit and plant where we get good seed-soil contact in those rows. So then it makes it easier for us to get our crop started, and then I say we'll come in and chemical it down. Now, we're doing several studies on this right now, different cover crops, and I'm putting a twist everything towards wildlife. But the one that keeps popping up with my friends that work with environmental science is the nesting study. They're worried about us creating a trap habitat with cover crops. Well, we'll look at ground nesting birds. I also have a kind of a partnership sometimes with another college, and I performed an ecology lab with the students, and they came out, Columbia College. And we did a mapping session, teach them how to make good maps for science. So we painted up these clay pigeons, and I had them break up into groups and hide these like they would in a quail nest. And the reason being is what I wanted to do, these went in fields all over our farm. And the people who were planting these fields had no idea we were doing it. I wanted to simulate a nest. So after planting and spraying and everything, These guys didn't know it, but they were going to come back and try to find those clay pigeons and rate whether or not they got hit with a planter or not. This is a big question. So, we all learned a lot with this little study. Summer cover crop. After wheat, generally people will put it fallow. We planted in a summer cover crop, and that's to the right. A lot of structure here. When we came back in to plant it with 30-inch row, which would be corn, and we did our sprays, we had a 41% success rate on nesting. Now, that's huge. If you think about the available area that's now being could be utilized by wildlife, 41% success is great. You go down a couple of them there, you'll see in the fall cover crop, which is a lot smaller, 44%. So that's a big deal. Now, that summer with 100%, I did learn a lot. You get military guys in a group, separate them, and don't let them dominate it. When they went in there, they made perfectly straight lines because I didn't tell them what we were doing. I wanted it to just be kind of a surprise. Well, they actually missed. They put it just far enough the planter never touched any of them, so I do have to boot that. But the row spacing, if you're going to mow it, roll it's a popular thing. If you're going to do that, then of course you're going to wipe out all the nest. And then one of the surprising things, we looked at planting with a 15-inch row coming in with beans. We knocked them all out there. I would have thought there would have been some that made it, but we're going to kick this up quite a bit this year, but that was kind of an interesting little study. It's very important that this kind of concept fits into the missions of a lot of our groups. And I went to the Soil and Water Conference and talked about this, and I pulled up a lot of different missions from different department DNRs, and it does. If you look at them, and if you look at it with a little different perspective, it does fit into their mission, and that's going to be important for them to accept. It kind of break the traditional roles of management. Now, speaking of breaking the traditional roles of management, paradigm shift. Right now, our management of wildlife has always been outside the field, very small pieces of the ground total. Now we're looking at being able to manage within the field if we want to, and we can also shift it from a public sector management to a farmer-driven management. So in conclusion, opportunities have never been better to merge conservation and agriculture. Our goal should be to find the most practical applications. Practical is huge, to incorporate the modern agriculture and conservation. I think cover cropping systems are the best opportunity we've seen in many, many years to do this. And with that, I believe I'm done. Thank you.
Questions for our speaker?
They will. That 51% that got wiped out would come back and re-nest. Pheasants, the big thing about them is they're more resilient than quail. So they can, I would say, they'd do a lot better with cover cropping systems.
All right. Any other questions?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.